Good morning, everyone. Welcome here this morning. A couple announcements for you guys. Some big things going on at the church these days. If you have your bulletin, open it up and take a look at some of the things going on. We're going to have Curtis Colossin come up in a minute. He's going to talk about Promise Keepers. Bridgeway Builders have Rebecca Hebert coming to talk. She'll be here in Swift Current soon. Services for Lent are going to be starting soon at the United Church. One thing I want to highlight is the provincial conference, the convention, is going to be here in, I believe it's 2 weeks' time. It is coming really quickly. How many of you have been to a convention before? Hands up. A whole bunch of you. If you have not, this is your year to give it a try. The billeting is cheap, and the gas mileage is minimal. So if you want to come see what a convention looks like, it is going to be here this year. A really good opportunity for you guys to come see what goes on at a convention. You get to hear reports from all the different levels of our conference, the church planting wing of our conference, the leaders of our conference. You get to learn about some of the different churches in our conference maybe you've never even heard about. Some of them share. Is really fun to be a part of that and meet some of the leaders. With that, though, we need your guys' help. People have been calling and they need a place to stay, so we would like some billets. So if you have a spare bedroom in your house and you'd be willing to let someone stay in that spare bedroom that weekend, please call the church office. We have a list of people that need a place to stay, and we need guest rooms. So if you have one, because I know most of you do, and if the sheets are clean, which hopefully they are, give the church a phone call on Monday, all right? We need delegates. So if some of you would like to attend the convention, talk to the church office. You guys can come. You get registered. You get material. You get reports that you can read. Let the church office know you want to come. We can, is it six we can have this year? Six delegates? Yeah. So if you want to be one of the six people signed up with all of the information, call the church office. We need help in the kitchen. We're going to be doing food services for the weekend. So if you would like to volunteer that weekend to help, please talk to Joyce or talk to Becky, and they will find a spot for you to help in the kitchen. With that, I'm going to call up Curtis Colossin to come talk about the Promise Keepers trip. And we'll go from there.
All right, good morning, everyone. This is kind of the last call for Promise Keepers. We're wanting to have our registrations in by Wednesday, or probably before Wednesday, technically, March 2nd, so that we can get the early bird prices and all that kind of good stuff. Make sure that we're in on time. And so if you have been thinking about it, if you're planning on it, if you're hoping to make some plans to do that, today is a great day to sign up. There's a sign-up sheet on the back by the office there in the window. You can just sign up your name. We're going to put in a registration of everyone together so that it's easier. And then we'll look at the financials and that kind of stuff after. Also, if you are signed up, I will be probably emailing you in the next week kind of thing to let you know what the details are, kind of price a hotel, probably time that we'll hopefully be leaving on the Friday. Again, it's Friday. I think it starts at 7, and then Saturday goes from 8 a.m. till 4:45 or something like that. So, again, if you're interested, sign up at the back. I'm hoping, part of my hope in this is part of our conversation will be maybe in our travels of where do we go from this conference, because these conferences are great, a great starting point, but it's hopefully a jumping point for us as men to begin to kind of start meeting as well, or finding some way to connect on a regular basis and start up our men's ministry again in that way. So if you're interested, again, sign up, and we'll be in contact. All right, thanks.
All right, and one last thing before we start our service is our brand new church website. We've been working on it for a while, and it is finally up. So if you would like to see it, you should probably wait till after the service to whip out your phone and take a look. as some of you are probably already reaching for it. But it's the same address, www.bridgewaycommunitychurch.ca, or BCCSC. So all the letters, Bridgeway Community Church Swift Current, BCCSC.ca. Brand new website. Take a look at it. Hopefully we're going to be putting a ton of things on it, different church activities. There's going to be a calendar with the church schedule. So if you want to know when that Awana is or when the youth group is or what is going on or when is that event at the church, it's all going to be on there. Bulletins are on there. The sermons are going to be on there. So go check it out and enjoy it. And with that, I'm going to say a prayer and let's begin our service together. Holy God, remind us of why we're here. Help us not to get distracted by the programs or activities. They're not the center of what we do. They're merely a stepping stone to help us get to know you more and for us to grow as a family and become closer to you. You are the reason why we are here. You're the reason why we study the Word. You're the reason why we have the Holy Spirit. You're the reason why we worship. And I pray this morning that through the teaching, through the sharing of stories, through the singing, we would realize you are the focus, you are the center, you are the everlasting God, and that we are here to worship you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Call up the worship team.
And let's just focus our thoughts and our minds on who our God is.
Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens, and he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Psalm 148 is a reminder of God's majesty. He deserves the praise of all of his creation. So let's stand together and give him the glory and honor that he's due.
Rescue me from danger, interpose his precious to just start that over. Sorry. I didn't do anything like that during practice.
Spirit, three in one, clothed in three. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one, clothed in power and in grace, the name above all other names, the name above all other names.
Maybe seated.
Well, I'd like to invite Lou Ann Schultz up and Irene. I think they're coming up this morning. As they're coming up, I'll just lead into this a little bit. We have some quilts up here. This is just a little representative of a number of quilts and other kinds of things. Our church, in part of the, just to back up a little bit more, the refugee family that we were talking about is going to be here anytime. And that family of 13 is going to change things for a lot of people. Oh, there's Mabel too. All right. A couple weeks ago, we were praying for housing. And all of a sudden, a house came available, a house large enough to house 13 people, and pretty much most of it all on one floor. So that was just about the ideal place that we had been praying about. And then Bridget was asked, our part of it, we're teaming up with a number of other churches to do this. Our part was to provide bedding for all the beds in the new home. And so our quilters have been busy, and as they always are, and they have some quilts, and there's a whole stack of bedding on the table in the back there that we're going to be taking over to the home and setting up the beds and that kind of thing for the people. And so that being true, thought this morning we'd just pray a prayer of blessing over the quilts. So do you want each one to grab one? Again, this is just a small part of the larger number that are going there, and then the ones that are given all throughout the year as well. So let me just pray then. Okay. Our Father God, we thank you for willing hands and loving hearts of our quilters. We thank you for their gift of time and energy so that these and other quilts can be a blessing to others. We ask that those who receive them will know and experience the love of Christ. May the warmth they experience as they wrap themselves in these quilts be an expression of your love, as if you yourself were wrapping your arms around them and covering them, giving them warmth. We pray, Lord, that somehow in all of this they will see and understand your love for them as expressed through other Christians. And we pray, Lord, that this family, as they come, they will just experience Christ in a powerful way in this community, and that one day we'll see them converted and changed and following you. So, Father, we just again commit them and all the bedding, all these quilts and bedding to, and to the purpose for which they've been donated in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, ladies. So I'm going to invite the usher to come forward. And while they're doing that, the worship team, the offertory team is coming up. Myron's leading his crew up here. Just a couple of things. We've been working to clear out the prayer room, which had sort of become a bit of a storage room over the last while. And the purpose for that is we want to see the prayer room used again. And so it's set up now. It's not quite done yet, but it's ready to go. So we would like to invite you to any time that you want to come to the church to go to the prayer room to pray. You do that. If you come on Sunday morning a little bit early, you can just go in there and pray. There's no set agenda for that. There will be times when prayer requests will be set out on the chairs in the prayer room if you want to pick one of those up and pray. It's, I think, a great idea if you had time before the service a few minutes to go in and pray for the service and that kind of thing. I often like to go there in the mornings and pray before I start work, and so it's just a break from the office. It's just sort of setting a different mood, and so I would just invite you to take note of that. The other thing is Jake Peters, an elderly person from our congregation. He usually sits, when I look out, I'm on the right side, about third row from the back there. He took a tumble last week and was taken to Saskatoon, a broken hip. But Jake has a number of health issues, heart, diabetes, a number of other things, high blood pressure. And so he's been in Saskatoon since last week, and they still haven't done the surgery because it's too high a risk. So they're trying to discern what to do. They're trying to minimize some of the issues, but they do not feel he would survive surgery, so unless they can do something about all the other conditions. So there's just this situation that the doctors need wisdom, and he needs prayer. So we'll do that now when I give thanks to the offering as well. And so I'll do that now. Father God, we just want to thank you so much for your love and grace. Thank you for the way that we can reach out to this refugee family that's coming. We thank you for the Coulters again, for all the work they've done now and all throughout the year. We also want to pray for Jake. He's in kind of a desperate situation. And just pray, Lord, that you will encourage his heart in the midst of all this. Give the doctors wisdom to know what to do, or if there isn't anything they can do. I'll pray that as he waits to see what's going to happen, I pray that he, Jake, will be able to trust in you and know that you're still with him and watching over him, that he's in your hands, and his future is in your hands as well. And should this be the time when you're going to be calling him home or changing the way that he lives, Lord, give him the grace to accept that as well. And then, Lord, we want to thank you for the offering this morning. It's again, expression of the fact that we love you, and we're demonstrating that all good things come from you. Everything we have comes from you. And in our giving, we're demonstrating your lordship in our lives and our dependence upon you. So, Lord, be glorified today in the offering. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
To thee, and through this world of toys and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? And none but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When feeble life is o'er, and time for me will be no more, guide me gently, safely o'er, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Good morning. Thank you for that, Myron. We're going to talk a little bit about missions this morning. And as you know, we have the Butlers who we sponsor as a church, and the Butlers serve in Turkey. Butlers have had some fantastic news in the last few months. How many of you see their prayer letter and read their prayer letter? A handful. You got to read their prayer letter. Since December, 6 months around the Christmas period, they had 11 new salvations, which is incredible for that part of the world. And then their partner couple in another city in Turkey have seen 60 people come to the Lord, which is outstanding. The mark of any kind of, yeah, we should applaud for that. It's amazing. So the mark of any growing church movement is new believers. That's the start, right? But then a courage among new believers to go and make disciples. And that's what the Butlers are seeing. It's not just them or their partner couples that are leading people to the Lord. It's new believers that are going out and bringing other people in and leading them to the Lord and immediately beginning that discipleship process, which, if you're a fan of missions, that's a huge deal. That's an incredible blessing. So that's great news. Some more difficult news in their end of the world is there was a bombing, suicide bombing, in a part of the city they live in where they frequently take visitors and guests. So they're asking for some support through prayer, just for wisdom and courage. They live in a dangerous part of the world, and they have to deal with that. But, you know, we should be praying for them, both for wisdom, you know, as they plan their day and what they do, but also courage to continue to be bold in their faith and move forward to continue to share in the goodness of God and what God has in store for the people of Turkey, but also the migrant people that come to Turkey from places like Iran and Iraq. And we also have Rebecca Hebert coming to be with us, not this week, but next week. And if you like to cook, and if you like to have people in your home, please contact Brenda App. Brenda's organizing suppers for her throughout the week that she's here. So she arrives Saturday night. She's staying with the Penners. So Sunday night she's looked after, but otherwise there are nights through the week that we'd love to get her in a home. So if you want to join together with another family, bring them over, share a meal with Rebecca, share some stories around the table about what God's doing in Thailand and what God's doing in your hearts. That'd be a real encouragement to Rebecca, and I'm sure you'd be encouraged by what God is doing with her and in her, through her in Thailand. Rebecca's doing Bridgeway Builder. She's going to King's Kids Sunday School. She's going to do Adult Sunday School the following week. She's going to be at Awana. She's going to be at the conference. She's going to be helping in any way that she can. And what we'd like to do, next week is our church potluck. Is that right, Bob? I think it's next week. We've been having this audio thing this morning where this phantom radio station just beams into our sound system. So that's what that was. That wasn't God. So next week is our potluck, but what we'd like to do is collect a love offering for Rebecca. Oftentimes our missionaries, they choose to go and they surrender and choose to submit to what God has in store for them, for his call in their life. And oftentimes that means that they aren't sure. They gather donations and they get people to support them, but oftentimes they don't have extra. They have enough, but not always extra. And so sometimes it's great for the body to bless them with extra. And that's what we'd like to do for Rebecca. She's here with us for a whole week serving among us. So next week we'd like to collect a love offering for Rebecca. Then the following Sunday, her last Sunday here, we're going to have a luncheon, and we'd like to bless her with that gift. So next week when you come to the potluck, bring some cash or a check. You may go to the church. I'm not sure how that would work, Bob, but bring money. And we'll give it to Rebecca. We'd really like to bless her with that. So I think coming up after, we're going to have the Soar Kids share about their time in Saskatoon a couple weeks ago. But I'd like to just pray for a minute for the Butlers and for Rebecca and our time together. Father, we're so moved and grateful for your eternal call to bring your people back into fellowship with you and back into relationship with you. And we're so encouraged by the work of your hand in Turkey and what you're doing to establish your church there and build and grow a vibrant people full of faith and life and empowered to go and share your gospel. So we pray for these new believers, God, that you would encourage them, give them all kinds of strength, and we pray that you would empower them through Holy Spirit to do great and mighty, mighty works for your kingdom and for your glory. We pray for revival in that land. We pray, God, that you would bring revival even here among us. And that your Holy Spirit would break out and people would be changed for your glory and for your kingdom, both here and there. We pray for Rebecca as she comes to visit us. We pray, God, that that would be a great time of refreshing for her and encouragement. Help us as a body to be an encouragement to her, and also to be willing to learn from what she has to teach us, what you would have to teach us through her. So again, Lord, we're so grateful for the opportunity to partner with you, to join with you in the work of your hand for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Do you guys like to hear stories? You enjoy a good story? I'm going to call up the four young people that came with me on our mission trip. Come on up, guys. And we're going to tell you some stories. In the middle of February, a couple weeks ago, you guys sent us on a mission trip. We went to Saskatoon for 10 days. We spent 4 days in training with sessions and worship every morning and every night, and workshops in the afternoon, preparing ourselves for the work that we were going to do. After that, we spent 4 days running essentially a VBS in a kids club in a low-income / refugee newcomer to Canada section of the city, where we got to sit with kids from Africa and kids from the Middle East, and even a family that had just arrived from Syria. And we got to run a kids club for them for 4 days. After that, we spent about a day and a half debriefing and talking about what did we learn? What did God teach us? And now, how do we apply that to our lives when we get home? And that adds up to the 10 days that we were gone. We want to share with you guys a couple of our adventures, some stories about what happens at Kids Club, what happens at the church when we're doing our worship and our sessions and our workshops, and a little bit about what God taught us while we were there. And hopefully, as we're talking, you guys will get to see a couple pictures of some of the kids that we met while we were there. So we're going to start with a couple stories about Kids Club. And this Kids Club is called Appleby Kids. It's ran by the MCC in Saskatoon. They send staff that run this kids club every Wednesday night, similar to how we run Awana. And they do some games and some Bible stories, and they do this every week. But when we were there, we did it every day of the week. We did a Tuesday through Friday all week for them. So I'm going to ask each young person to share a story from Kids Club and let you know a little bit more about what it's like. Go ahead. Whoever wants to go.
So at Kids Club, the kids are really crazy. Like, I used to think that some of your kids were crazy, but it's nothing compared to these kids. Like, they're insane. And so, like, we get there and all the kids, there's like probably about 30 kids, and the main room that we're in most of the time is like the same size as my bedroom. So like, it's tiny with 30 kids. And they just scream. And so you try to calm them down, and it's like a contest to see who can yell louder than the teacher. So they can't, like, they don't hear anything that you say. So the one day we were gonna sing some songs, and I stood up and I'm like, all right, guys, you gotta be quiet. And they're all just screaming. And so I just stood up, and I just started the song. And I said a boom, chicka boom. And they all stopped, stood up, and started the song. And it was really funny just how that you can't tell them to be quiet, but as soon as you, like, engage them, then they stop. And then even, like, the kids that don't speak English, they still, like, enjoy, like, that kind of stuff. So that was a funny story for me.
There was this little girl at Kids Club, and her name was Lashara, and she was a little bit, like, different than the other kids. She broke down a lot, and, like, things had to be, like, perfectly her way. But I definitely had her convinced I was Justin Bieber. She was, like, winking at me all day, and she's like, I'm your biggest fan, and I'll singing all my songs and stuff, so I thought that was pretty adorable.
I don't know if anyone can make that story better than that, but there was the one family that didn't speak any English. They knew hi, please, no, sorry, and high five, and that was it. And you could kind of communicate with them with, like, a little bit of sign language that we made up. And so we would play a game, and it was like the one person who was it, they went outside the room, and then they would like come back in, and everyone had to freeze. And if they saw anyone moving, that person was out. And so there were like 7 kids in this group, and 5 of them did not speak English. And it was me and Olivia, and, or I think it was me and Olivia, whatever. And yeah, it was. And we were trying to calm them down. So there was one girl who knew it like a little bit more than the rest of them. So we would like try and tell her like, and then tell her what to do. And then she would talk to her brother and her in Arabic. And then he would go outside and then he would follow the rules. And then, but if we tried to tell him anything, he would just ignore us and keep running around and screaming. Cause that's what they did. And so, but we did learn no in Arabic. It's la. And the oldest boy in that family, he was rude to his family. He would yell no at them and then hit them, just slap them, just for no reason whatsoever. And so it was kind of sad, but kind of like, what the heck are we supposed to do? Because they were just hitting each other and beating each other up, and it was kind of freaky.
So there was one kid that wanted a piggyback ride, so I just sort of thought, whatever, I'll give the kid a piggyback ride, and then he's happy. But then I realized that there's 30-some kids that are now going to want a piggyback ride. So yeah, I gave a lot of piggyback rides.
Applebee Kids Club has around 30 kids in it. This whole kids program takes place inside of a 2-bedroom apartment in an apartment building. So the living room is where we do crafts and have our snack. The small single bedroom is where we did story time, and we did Moses, David and Goliath, Jesus, and Peter. In the master bedroom, which is essentially 10 by 11, so you can imagine how small this room is, that's the games room, that's the gym. And that's where all the games were played. And this is, if you saw some of the pictures, that is where these 30 kids and us ran Kids Club for the 4 days we did that. And we got to go sledding. If you saw some pictures of us outside, they have a tiny playground beside the apartment building. And this playground has a slope, the most gentle slope you've ever seen in your life. And our job was to sled with them on this slope. So we would pull them, we'd grab the leash in front of their sleds, and we would sprint down this slope and sprint back up and grab the next kid. And we did it for hours. So if you saw pictures of sledding, that was us outside with them, trying to get some fresh air, let the apartment air out a little bit. Okay, now we're going to share some stories about what we learned when we were in training, when we were in the sessions back at the church, when we were in worship and in workshops. And each young person will share something that they enjoyed about that.
So one day we had an afternoon where we could choose 2 different workshops to go through. And one of the workshops I went through was a media workshop where it was about like photography and how you can like see God through pictures that you take. And it was just really inspiring to see how you don't need some like giant miraculous sign to see God in your lives. If you take the time to like focus and look at all of the little things, like God is like ever present there in just the tiny little things that you don't even notice because life's going by so fast. So.
So the one afternoon we had this time called intercession. So then like a bunch of like the leaders from SOAR, like part of MB Mission, they took our whole group and they like did like attentive prayer and like prayed for us. And so they would like ask God for like images or whatever to like tell us stuff that God wanted us to know or whatever. And we did it last year and it was kind of weird. We're like, I don't really know. Like we don't really do this in our church. It's kind of strange. But then this year, I was really excited for it. I was like, what does God want to tell me this year? And so that was really interesting. And then we even tried doing some intercession just with our group and tried listening for each other, which was really fun. And then the other thing that I learned, the one evening, one of the sessions, was about like First Nations people and reconciling ourselves with First Nations people. And I think that was really important. Lots of, like, the people that we saw in, like, inner city Saskatoon were all First Nations. And just about bridging the gap and showing First Nations people Christ and that we have to reconcile ourselves with them. And that was really inspiring for me.
So the workshop I went to is about just, like, worship and how you don't have to, like, pray to thank God. You can do it through whatever you're doing. So if you like singing or music or drawing or whatever you want to do, you can thank God in whatever you're doing.
The whole theme for this mission trip this year was face-to-face with others, face-to-face with God, and face-to-face with yourself, and being vulnerable and open. And I think that point kind of, I don't know, I've been hearing vulnerable and stuff like that since then for like the past week, and it's been really weird because it's like three times since then it's been like, you got to be vulnerable, and it's like, well, yeah, okay.
So those are the shirts that we're wearing. We received them when we got there. It says face to face. And that's exactly what the theme of the whole week was about. Are we really being face to face with God? And what does it look like to be face to face with God? And to be face to face with ourselves and be honest with ourselves and be vulnerable. The worship is just, it's just fun. It's fun to be in the presence of 100 teenagers. It's fun to hear 100 teenagers sing. And to sing freely, not worried about if they want to put up a hand or not, not worried about mom and dad staring at them, not worried about their little brother and sister making noise, just singing, just talking to God. And to watch the young people sing every morning and every evening for the entire trip is very special. And that's probably one of my favorite parts of going on a trip like this. And there's something just refreshing about an hour of worship every single day, every day for 10 days. No matter what was going on that day, you knew that at least an hour of that day was just going to be singing to God. And it's the most relaxing and refreshing thing. And coming back from 10 days of that, you miss it as soon as you get home. You wake up, you get back in your schedule, and you go, I'm not going to have that hour of singing today. And I think that's one of my favorite parts of being through this program is just worshiping God. So last, I saved the tough question, is how did God impact your faith through SOAR? What is something you learned about God that you're going to carry with you? What changed in your heart? So I'll let the teenagers try to sum it up. What happened?
So one of the big themes that came up throughout the entire week was just about love. Like, our theme verse for our kids club was God is love. And so, like, at Appleby, you really have to work hard to love some of those kids. Because, like, the kid that Michael talked about, not easy to love. And the kids that don't speak English, like, how do you show God's love to 8 kids that don't speak English? Like, so you just have to figure out ways to, like, bridge that gap and show people love. And then there were 3 kids who were pretty sure had lice. And they needed the most love. Like, they were kind of, like, not really friends with the rest of the kids. They were kind of a little bit different. And they just, like, clung to you. And Wade gave him a piggyback ride, even though he probably had lice. And she was just, like, rubbing her face on me. And I was like, please don't. But we had to love them anyway, even though we didn't want to. And so that was one of the big themes, just loving people that you don't want to love.
Another big part of our, like, sessions and worship and stuff was, like, prayer and learning to pray to God and stuff. And just something I've learned is, like, prayer isn't some, like, religious act that you have to, like, kneel and bow your head and fold your hands, but you can, like, pray to God wherever you want and however you want. And a big part of it was attentive prayer and intercession, where you just sit there and you listen to what God wants to tell you instead of just, like, asking God for stuff. You just let Him speak in your life the way that He wants to.
So mine's sort of the same as Olivia's, but I just learned how to, like, show God's love to the kids there or to other people at SOAR, no matter, like, how hard it is, even if we don't like the person personally or whatever. But just to show God's love to them no matter what.
God showed me that I just got to be vulnerable and be able to put myself out there and just do stuff I don't want to do, because, I mean, who really wants to go talk to a random stranger and tell them about Jesus? Not many people are good at that, and not many people like doing that. I'm one of those people who doesn't like doing that. I don't like talking to people, and it was hard to, I had to remind myself throughout the week that we were helping the kids, just love them, just whatever, just love them. It's okay if they're screaming, love them. If it's okay if they're crying, love them. It's okay, just love them. So.
Thank you guys for praying for us. Thank you for sending us. Thank you for writing the notes of encouragement. If you're one of those people that wrote a note for us, thank you. Thank you as a church for sending us on a trip like this. It's incredible when you really get to spend time with just God and learn about who he is and how much he loves us. So if you want to know more about this trip, please ask one of these four people. I'm sure they'd love to tell you more stories about the adventures that we went on. And thank you guys for being a part of this trip with us. So thank you very much. Good job, guys.
To hear what God is doing around the world and in our own backyards and in our own homes. I'd love to hear what God is doing. We sometimes think that God is just for us and we keep him to ourselves and we enjoy the life he has for us, but that life is meant to be shared. It's meant to be taken outside these walls. It's meant to be spread so that all of his creation has the opportunity to praise him. And So, again this morning, we're going to sing, and this one is Hope of the Nations. It just fits so well with what we've just been talking about.
Jesus, hope of the nations, Jesus, comfort for all who
outside these four walls. We can't do that on our own to share his love. Only God puts that love in our hearts for those around us. And so we think we can do this with his help, but really we're just a vessel and he does all the work. And so we need to remember that. So this song talks about how we need him wherever we are, whenever.
Process here of becoming a what we call a member. It's just a word that we use. It's probably the best word that we can find to use about talking about church. We call membership. Maybe another word could be partnership, whatever. But we around here we call it church membership, and that is really a commitment by people to be part of this local congregation, and that involves some accountability, of course. Well, what we heard so much about last week is when people come alongside us to walk us through the difficult times of life, to encourage us and build us up, and I guess in a sense, be a family to us. So the new way that we're doing this is, of course, and I think it's a little bit like not much different that way, the way we used to do it is that to be a member, we would like our people to share their testimony, share their story with us. And last week we heard six different testimonies. Not all those are becoming members, but that's down the road a little bit. And so the next month or so, and since we have a number of people that are interested in membership, have asked about it, we're going to hear stories. And so we're trying to schedule this out over the next month or maybe month and a half, however many people there are. And they will be sharing their stories, which or testimonies, which is for the purpose of becoming what we call, quote, a member of Bridgeway Community Church. Then towards the end of April, somewhere in there, we will have a membership Sunday in which they will stand and maybe come up front, and we will affirm them to be members of Bridgeway Community Church. So that's a little bit of the process. Be prepared for lots of stories about faith and how God has led people and of a desire to be part of Bridgeway. This morning we're starting with two people, Nicole and Colby. Would you come on up? And they're going to share their story. And again, they're kind of the first ones in the journey here in the next month or two. And remember their stories. And later on, when you have Membership Sunday, we'll affirm them for membership. So come on right up and we go with your stories.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Colby Anderson, married to Nicole, if you don't know that. I was born September 12th, 1995. My next point was say something funny, but Nicole told me I wasn't funny enough to do that, so. Anyways, my Christian journey started where most good Christian journeys started, and that's at West Bank. In grade 4, I went to West Bank from being invited by a friend. And even though I didn't become a Christian at that moment, it did plant a seed in my heart. And for the next many years, I continued going to West Bank. The following year after that, came one of the hardest things I had to deal with was my parents getting a divorce. It was not the easiest thing to go through. They forced me to go to counseling, which I really hated because I felt different than all the other kids. I felt like I was a weirdo or just not normal. So to get over this, I actually tricked myself for the next 3 years, thinking I was getting filmed for a reality TV show and I was going to become famous. And for many years, it just did not sink in that it had actually happened. And after it finally did, it wasn't a year or so later that I realized I need God to help me fully get over this issue. In grade 9, I started attending youth group at Eastside and going to church every Sunday, but this was only so that I could go to Florida at the end of the year. So this was for IYC, kind of like YC in Alberta, but it was in Florida, and it was an international youth convention. So to do that, I had to go to youth every week, and I had to go to church every Sunday. But the weird thing is, as soon as I seem to be getting close to God, something comes up. And that was the same year I started drinking a lot. I'd show up to church hungover, and it just was, I was getting drawn away, even though I was still going to church. So the main reason I started drinking was because in middle school, we transferred from the middle school to the high school, and all the middle schools were in this one high school now. And I was terrified of making new friends because I already felt weird and different from my parents' divorce and stuff. And so I had to stick with my old friends, who none of them were Christian, and I just followed along with them just so I'd continue having friends, which really sent me down the wrong path. At the end of grade 9, we finally went to IYC. At first, it was just a lot of fun. We went to some amusement parks, like Universal Studios, and where else? We helped out a church throw a block party, which was in a pretty sketchy neighborhood. But it was still a lot of fun, just hanging out with kids and eating pizza. It was a lot of fun. Second week, we went to the conference part, and Francis Chan was speaking. Just everything I'd learned from West Bank and from going to church, it finally all clicked together, and I realized that I needed to turn my life around to become a better person, to become a better me. And so that's kind of where I decided I need new friends. So next year, I kind of was just like, nope, I can't do this. Went and found some new friends. And the summer after that, I became an SIT, at West Bank, which was really good because it really changed my faith from being a Christian to truly living like a Christian. The new friends I had picked they said they are Christians, but they didn't act like it. So it was kind of, again, I was like, okay, well, now I have to go find new friends. And I kind of realized, oh, God's had these friends for me this whole time, just sitting at church and just waiting to talk and hang out with me. So I started going down that path. And at the end of grade 11, I decided to get baptized because I felt like this was the next step in my faith and I needed to do this. And so I got baptized at the place I felt was right, which was West Bank. And yeah, it just kind of all started to fall together. And next year I had some great friends and I was doing good. And after that, I went to Costa Rica on a missions trip, which we taught VBS to a bunch of inner city kids in San Ramon, which was a pretty sketchy area. And although I felt like I didn't grow a lot, I saw a lot of my friends grow, and people who I'd never thought would pick up a Bible were all of a sudden saying, oh, you know, I got to get up early tomorrow to read my Bible, which was really neat. And I realized, you know, God did teach me that it's not all about me. It's about watching your friends grow and helping them grow too. After that, I went to Briarcrest, which I was pretty bitter about because my friend who I was supposed to go with, I dropped out. So all of a sudden, I was stuck with not having any friends again and having to make more friends, which was pretty terrifying for me. So the first semester, I was pretty closed off, and I didn't really talk to a whole lot of people. But I found that after that, I made some friends, and God taught me a lot being there, a lot about Him and a lot about the Bible. And I wouldn't have traded going there for anything. Then something pretty cool happened. Me and Nicole got engaged. She's pretty awesome. The main reason I wanted to bring this up because I see God using her in my life all the time. She just makes me feel accepted, like, and don't really need to find more friends. You know, God's kind of all I need. She asks me tough questions. Till this day, I still, I'm very tempted to drink all the time. And whenever I start talking about it with her, she kind of asks me the hard questions. And she's like, well, like, why would you drink? And I can never think of a good reason. And I honestly don't think if it were for God using her, I don't think I would be standing here or be in a church at all this week. Something tough I dealt with this last little while was about 2 weeks ago, I lost my job. Just to some financial difficulties. And so it's just really hard relying on God's peace when not knowing when your next job is coming up or what you're going to be doing or if you're going to get paid. And, yeah, it's just been difficult for me and Nicole. It kind of develops fights, and it's not the easiest to make it through. Upon talking to Bob about doing this, he asked us to share what being a member is important to us, so why becoming a member would be so important. I had a bunch of stuff written down, but I didn't realize until I walked through this door why I wanted to become a member this morning. Just talking to everybody, feeling encouraged by everyone, just reminding us how good we're doing, and that's kind of why I want to be a member. I want to be a part of a group of people that are going to encourage me and make me feel safe and just feel like I'm at home. Up until I walked through those doors this morning, I was terrified of getting up here. So that's about it. Thanks.
Okay. Well, my name is Nicole Anderson, and I'm married to that guy. I grew up in a typical Christian home, Sunday school, church, Awana. I was all part of that. I became a Christian around the age of 4. Growing up, I was way too shy to get baptized, so I put it off until grade 11. We were going to be at the Mars Hill Easter service that year. And I thought that getting baptized in front of a crowd of 17,000 was somehow less scary than doing it at Bridgeway. God had been pushing me to take that step for a while, and being baptized in a hot tub on a football field was definitely a surreal experience. Around that time, I became a bit depressed. I hid it well because I was ashamed. I thought that Christians weren't supposed to struggle with that. It just meant that I wasn't reading my Bible enough or praying enough, which obviously isn't true. God kept showing me Jeremiah 29:11, which is the only thing that got me through that time. I'm up here today because I want to become a member of Bridgeway. Like baptism, I thought it was something you only needed to do when you were an adult. The only reason I'd ever heard for becoming a member was to vote. But a lot has changed recently. Members are the people deciding the future of our church, and as a committed attender, I want to be part of that. I'm excited to see where Bridgeway is going. I want to support our church in prayer with my finances and with my time. I'm so glad I can be a part of a church where my thoughts and opinions can be heard and where other members will encourage me in my faith and keep me accountable. Thanks.
Well, so awesome to hear stories, and often we find ourselves reminded of our own story. And sometimes that spurs us on to gratitude and thanksgiving to God for what he's done in our lives. At other times, it's the spurring one another on concept, where it seems like we get a little jab, a little kick in the butt and the pants, and realizing, you know, hey, we got to get moving and follow God closer and grow more. So I know you're all looking at the clock, 4 minutes to 12. And so I'm just going to say I'm prepared for next Sunday's message. And it really does fit into a lot of what we're talking about, have been talking about over the last while, and heard last Sunday and this Sunday again. So I'm going to leave it there, and I'm going to pray, and we'll close our service this morning. Father God, thank you for how you've worked in our lives. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to do the work that no one else can do in our lives. And in fact, to do the work that we can't even, not even accomplish on our own effort or our own strength. We're so reminded, have been reminded over these last few weeks and even the months, that salvation is by faith. Your grace and our putting our faith in what you've done and your offer of salvation through Jesus. I believe that we're all in some ways been touched last Sunday and this Sunday again to consider where we are spiritually and where we are in our journey of following you. And it may be that we've fallen quite a bit behind in your footsteps, and we need the encouragement to move forward, to take our faith seriously, to take you seriously, and to take those bold steps of faith, and sometimes courageous steps of faith, some painful steps of faith to move forward and get closer to you. I pray that those who shared last week and this morning will have felt encouraged in being open and real with us, sharing their journey with us, and Lord, I just pray you bless them for that. And the rest of us, as we depart this place today, we ask that your Spirit will go before us and guide us and lead us, that we'd hear that voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it, through every aspect of the coming week, whether at work or school or recreation or play or whatever, Lord. So I now dismiss this congregation with your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless.